Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of the CAS podcast. We're not only legal now, we're starting to worry about our future if we were actually a person instead of a podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And I'm Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And today, we're talking about the business growth checklist for 2016. So the steps for success in this new year that's it's come upon us now.
I think that's a great name that we decided on. That's always the big debate, by the way, folks, before we get started, is what are we going to call it? Because it kind of sets the theme for everything else. And we want this to set the theme for your 2016. And we called it a business growth checklist instead of a business plan or, you know, anything more official. Because we want it to be a light kind of document that you use to plan out your year, not something that you're going to use to fill out a loan application for a bank.
When I have to do something on the marketing side of the business here at Coleman & Company, if I have to come up with my entire marketing plan for the year where everywhere I want to advertise, everything that I want to do, and it takes pages and it's a giant spreadsheet, it's a dreadful thing to do. That's right. Not what I enjoy doing about my job. I enjoy the marketing side of things.
Yes.
Not so much the making a giant plan. And if you go into this making, like you said right before, this isn't a 57-page document.
Right.
You know, that's what Mark had said right before we started this. If you go into this trying to make it a big, huge, giant plan, you are probably going to procrastinate it, and it's going to be April, and you're going to have the beginning of this document that you never finished, and you're not going to do anything different.
Yeah, so our idea here is that you have a legal pad in front of you, and a nice new pen that writes well. And what you're going to do is just write down a couple of bullet points. We're going to go through some suggestions on the business side of things, and then on the sales and marketing side of things. And we'd like you to take these to heart and kind of look forward over the year and see where they're going to fit into your growth plan for your business.
Yeah, I think it's great. I'm all about interaction in the podcast.
Yes.
I like that. So in my opinion, if you've got the opportunity now to get some paper or take out your computer and open up a notepad and just make some notes of things that we said or things that you find important that we said, and you've got a cheat on your list right there.
Right. That's true. And if you have any questions during the podcast, just raise your hand.
Yeah. We'll answer.
I mean, we won't be able to see it, but it'll be fun.
No, we'll figure it out. Okay. Technology is getting good.
That's great.
I just got a new phone, so it does all types of great things.
It's one of those iPhone things. Okay, so I think business growth checklist for 2016, I think we're ready to go, because honestly, the most common question that we get on the Custom Apparel Startups on the Facebook side of what we do, so if you're not already a member, you should look us up, the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, is, you know, hey, I've got a cutter, you know, and I've done some shirts locally, how do I grow my business? Or, you know, I've got this kind of technology, or I want to get into the business, or I want to start a brand, you know, or I want to grow my business and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to go through.
Well, so the first thing, if you want to look forward to the future, maybe you should take a look at the past.
Yeah, kind of a do like one of those shows that I refused to watch at the end of last year. They always do 1,000 best of 2015.
Yes.
You know, best reality show of 2015, you know, things like that. So what we've got here on our screen, on our legal pad, is best of 2015 review. Mark, what are a couple things that you think that people should take a look at from last year that might help them grow or be more successful this year?
Well, the first note that I have here is we just wrote the best blanks to work with.
Right. Now, what do you mean by blanks?
So what we mean by that is that you've probably, throughout the year, you probably tried some new shirts that maybe came out last year.
Yes.
Some new t-shirts or tote bags or jackets. You may have had a customer that requested something different than you've used before. And it's a time to go back and take a look at that. So consider the things that you ordered. Maybe pull up your old invoices or go into your account of wherever you order your blanks from and take a look at really good ones that were easy to work with, your customers liked, were profitable.
They had good stock.
They had good stock. They are going to continue for 2016 because they cancel some. And pick out your favorites. These are going to be the staple blanks that you offer to your customers when they say, I need some t-shirts,
right,
or I need some hats.
And that'll keep you, that'll save you some time this year because you're not going to go back through the catalog and wonder what you should be doing, or, you know, you can completely ignore the new flyer that's got the new four brands of t-shirts or four types of t-shirts that come out. You're going to look at what you did last year and pick your favorites, and that's what you're going to offer. And that goes for shirts, it goes for caps, it goes for jackets, whatever apparel you have decorated over the year.
Yeah, and have your nice short list, and when your customer comes and says, we need some dress shirts for all the salespeople in our company, you can come out and say, these are my three favorites. Because they are, you know, and you, and the thing is don't just strictly go by straight memory on this. This is something where you should look at some part numbers and look at some styles and look at the order and really focus on it for a few minutes.
Right, and, you know, it's funny because last night I was watching The Prophet, which is a great business-oriented show on CNBC. And this is a guy who invests in businesses, and he takes a look at small businesses and tries to figure out what they're doing wrong because they're not growing or they're failing. And the one last night was a shoe company, and what their biggest mistake was they were offering 40 or 50 different kinds of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different styles and different fabrics and things like that. And the first thing he did was get rid of the 95% that weren't selling. So 80% of that business was on, you know, five sets of shoes. So take a look at your business with that in mind, and, you know, so what blanks have you ordered, and what are the four or five that work best?
Yeah, and then there's a lot you can do with that from a marketing standpoint in regards to whether you put it into a brochure or you put it onto your website or whatever you do, and you have these focus ones that you can take the time, because we've talked about before in regards to creating a website,
right,
that if you want to put a garment on a website, it was with Marco.
Right, Marco Penny from Deco Network.
Yeah, he said, he's like, we have a team of people because every shirt has got all these colors and all these sizes. So if you pick a few and you want to adapt that into some of your marketing materials or website, now you've got a nice short list.
And most of your customers are just going to go, I want that one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're going to, most of them are going to take your suggestion.
Right.
This is a great shirt. You're going to love it. Awesome.
So the next thing we want you to look at for 2015 is, what was your most profitable deal? Now, not your biggest revenue deal, although that's great. I mean, find out what your most profitable deal was. And I hope you've listened to our Know Your Numbers podcast so you know which customers and which deals have generated the most profit for you. But this is really important because imagine if you took your most profitable deal, and that's the one, by the way, that you made the most money on at the end of the day. What if all of your deals had that same profit margin or same profit level?
Mm-hmm.
How much money would you have made in 2015? So you've looked at the skinny deals, you look at the fat deals. What's your most profitable deal?
Yeah, and how can you replicate
right. That?
You know, is can I replicate deals like this? And there's a balance in all of that, because in your profitability, you have to factor in all of the costs that come along with it. So how much work was involved in
right. It?
You know, all of that. So factor all that in, find out the deals that were this great mix of, at the paycheck was great and the cost
was low.
And see what you could do to do more of those.
And you may find a gem there, because it may be that maybe it was a gym bag that was particularly easy to embroider on or print on. So, you know, it meets your blanks test. It's one of your favorite blanks to work with. And it was also your most profitable deal. So now you're going to take that and you're going to put it in your brochure or put it on your website or feature it, you know, when you walk around talking to people for 2016 and think that what that'll do for your business next year.
Yeah, and it might be, you know, it could be something as simple as you're a direct-to-garment printer and it was a light tan garment and you did 150 of them and it was just CMYK. There was no white ink. The labor was low. The cost of the shirt was low. The hand finish
production speed
great.
Is fast.
Yeah, all of it was great. And then that's a great thing to talk about to your customers, where you bring that up and you say, listen, I did an order last year. It was these light tan garments. It was full color on the front and on the back we did this.
Yeah.
the customer loved it, I was able to produce it fast, I'm going to make that suggestion for you to do that. And you'll be surprised at how many people will take that suggestion.
I like that. As a matter of fact, I think we're done. I think okay. If they just wrote down those things, I think they would have a better 2015. But we have one more in this kind of 2015 wrap-up category. What gets the award, the 2015 award for your worst mistake?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that worst mistake is you pick completely the wrong shirt to print on. Or you let a customer bring you their own garments for you to decorate, and you ruined half of them. You know, what's your biggest mistake? And this is probably something that you obsessed over again and again, and that if you have a partner, it's one that they talk to you and bring up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you want to do something different. So it shouldn't be hard for you to figure out.
Yeah, and it might go back to the testing podcast where this was a gentleman that works here was talking about an embroidery story from some years ago where they had a new gym bag that they were going to embroider. They never did it before. They ordered 1,000 of them, got them in, and there was a rubber backing right behind where they were going to embroider.
Yeah.
And it was just constant thread breaks, and it took 3 weeks to produce something they thought they were going to get done in maybe 4 or 5 days.
Right.
So consider that stuff and see what you could do to avoid those.
Right. So figure out your worst mistake, and don't do this lightly. Really think about it. Was there a deal that you lost a lot of money on that unexpectedly? Was the deal because you ordered the wrong item,
mm-hmm.
or you ordered from a new vendor and it didn't work, or like Mark said as his example, the item turned out to be not what you expected, using customer garments, something that your equipment couldn't handle. Did you promise a turnaround time that you couldn't meet?
Yeah.
So what was your worst mistake? Maybe even write down the amount of money or time that you lost doing it as a motivator, and then remember that throughout the year. Don't get depressed. Just remember it throughout the year so you don't do it again.
Yeah. And that's one of the simplest things to adjust is that if you overpromised on somebody, when you're about to do it again, when you get that feeling like, I don't know. If I can do that by Friday, you really need to consider about just telling them, I am not too confident
right.
I can get
I'm
it done by
this.
Friday. Well, and that's it.
And these are three, business-oriented things, but they could be, don't restrict it to just the examples that we've given you. Your worst mistake this year may have been getting the wrong piece of equipment. Maybe it was making a financial deal that didn't work out for your company.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was taking on a partner that you had to get rid of or hiring the wrong employee. Look back, keep an open mind. What was your worst mistake and don't do it again?
Yeah, simple enough. Now, there's also, we should talk about money and finance.
Yeah, and we're going to do that. We're going to talk about money and finance, and then we're going to talk about sales and marketing.
Okay. All right. So on the financial side, that might be part of the biggest mistake, which is kind of could be a good segue into it, but a lot of times folks are not taking the proper steps to manage their finances, manage their sales orders, their inventory, all of those things. They didn't keep track.
I just thought of a good one.
Okay.
If you are about to or have recently met with your accountant or you're trying to do your taxes, and you realize, and a lot of first-time business people do this their first year, that you didn't pay any income tax or sales tax for your first year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge financial mistake, and it's one that affects a lot of businesses. So that's what we're talking about here is getting your money in order.
And it could so you're going to have to do your taxes, as you mentioned, soon.
Yeah.
So if you have a CPA that you work with or somebody specifically that handles this, during that meeting, you can just say, hey, at after we're done doing my taxes, can we take 30 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour, however long you need, and I would like to go over what I can do better in 2016 as far as managing all of this. So when I see you next year, it's going to be that much easier and that much better.
Yeah, and often they'll come up with surprising. There's some really good financial experts, CPAs and accountants, and even bookkeepers out there that really know their stuff.
Yeah.
So, you could get a suggestion that will literally make you more money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's to organize your business as a LLC instead of a sole proprietor. Or maybe they might suggest that you pay your taxes different on a quarterly basis, or, you know, a different way to handle sales tax, or even you know, comment on your cash flow.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal for a small business.
Yeah, and particularly pay attention if it's a successful CPA business owner.
Right.
If they're particularly successful and they're doing well and they seem to be managing themselves well, then follow their lead.
If you're both working out of your back bedrooms, then you're probably both in the same situation. You know, you're not really, you know, up and running. You're not making a huge amount of money yet. So you know, find somebody, you know, that with an office and a business and some experience that that can help small businesses in particular.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with getting a second opinion too. So you trust your tax person, but maybe you want to schedule an hour with another CPA who's maybe a little more expensive. Maybe you don't afford to keep that person on your books all the time.
Right.
But they're willing to be paid for an hour of their time.
Yes.
To give you some advice.
Yeah, and I'd say this too. You know, one of the first pieces of advice, if you're not already doing this, that any of these guys is going to give you is an accounting software package.
Yeah, we've talked about it a bunch.
Yeah.
It's important.
It really is. I mean, whatever it is, QuickBooks or FreshBooks or Bob's Books or, you know, whatever you decide to do, anything that keeps, if you're managing your finances for your business through your email account and through your checkbook, then that's going to be a problem. And that's something that you will be happy that you corrected in 2016.
And it's going to be more work in the beginning because you have to get used to it.
Right.
But then once you're in it...
You can do it.
Yeah. And at the end, when it's time to actually do your taxes, I mean, it's literally going to be you export something out to your CPA out of your finance software.
Yeah.
You do a few clicks and you hit send. And then your taxes are almost done.
It's almost like a file my taxes button.
Yeah. So and they're gonna use software like that, or their software is gonna accept that, and it's gonna suck that information in and spit information out that is going to be easier and better and more accurate.
Yeah.
And less likely to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
All of that.
Now in the same vein, I've got order entry written down here in my notes.
So I think we're talking about taking invoices and orders in and how you are managing that.
Okay.
So if your orders are typically now on, you have order sheets or you've got the carbon copy yellow and white paper, and that's how you take your orders, it's time to upgrade.
Absolutely.
It's not, again, it's the cost is going to be almost nothing or free.
Yeah.
It will take time to get used to it, but you've probably got a great phone. You probably have an iPad or some sort of other, you know, tablet. There's a lot of apps that are free. There's a lot of software that's free or inexpensive or software as a service stuff where it's a monthly fee.
Right.
$9 a month and you have the access to do online invoicing.
Yes.
And it's going to automate a ton of things for you. It's going to keep track of it.
Yeah.
You can do orders on your computer or on your tablet. You can email it directly to the customer right from within the app. It's going to save you a ton of time. You're not going to lose anything. You're not going to have to worry about chicken scratch handwriting.
Right. I think the theme here for 2016 should be, you know, just to get a handle on the money. A lot of people that get into the custom apparel business, you know, they're creative, you know, or they just want to do the work. And we've talked about that on a bunch of podcasts too. But the more, you know, just you know, bear down and get this money side of the business handled, you know, become a little bit comfortable with the way you put in an order and talking to an accountant. And using the right software and filing your taxes. You know, just get this stuff learned and handled and out of the way so you can focus on what you're good at in 2016.
Yeah, baby steps on everything too. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to get $30,000 software integrated into your website. Just get something that works.
That's
easy to use.
That's right.
With managing the money, it's also important to manage your information.
Right. And by information, you know, there's a lot of things that we mean. I mean, one of the top ones, and we've done entire podcasts on both of these. One of the biggest ones is the information on what you have in stock, what you have on order, what you need to complete your work. And that's kind of an inventory management.
Mm-hmm. You should have something that you use to manage what you've got in your store or shop or closet,
right?
That is inventory for your business, and it's important to have a schedule to check up on that.
Yes.
To count it again and verify it again. Because I've mentioned this.
Yeah, tell the stories because it's important.
Maybe every episode. It's really important. But every single day, we will ship out a gallon of pre-treat for direct to garment printing or two cones of black thread.
Right.
Overnight.
Right.
To somebody that costs them twice as much as the product, or for thread, 100 times. You know, almost. Maybe not 100. Maybe 10. But okay. Whatever. A ton more.
Right.
Than the actual cost of this product in UPS.
Right.
So you know, we don't make any money on it. You don't make any money on it. It's the shipping carrier does. And it's not only is it money, but it's stress.
You know what I want to do? I want to go back to the best of 2015 review part and say, I want you to pull your invoices from your suppliers, including Coleman and Company. And any other supplier that you use for your business. And I want you to go down to that stack and I want you to look at the freight line.
Yeah.
On every invoice, and I want you to add all that stuff up. You know, flag, you know, the 2 days and the overnight shipments that you've had to do because you made a mistake and weren't keeping track.
Yeah.
And then that's going to add up to real money. Think about if you could just add that back into the bottom line.
Yeah, and you can. And you know, for example, we have a free shipping threshold where you don't pay for shipping. And we have customers that 100% of the time take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Because they manage their, say, ink particularly well.
Right.
So they say, they go through and they call up, say, once a month or once every 6 weeks or once every 2 months, however they order, and they are re-upping their inventory. And they'll say, well, I need an extra white ink this time because I used some more.
Right.
And the same thing with thread. You know, it's like you should never run out of black and white thread.
Yeah,
they're the
that's
two
just
most
silly.
Common colors.
And bobbins.
And bobbins.
They don't wear out,
yeah.
You know, sitting
yeah.
in the box.
So it would take a really long time for that all of those things to degrade.
Right.
So the thing I tell people is you should have a 60-day of supplies in your shop. For all of the major staple supplies that you use, and then after 30 days, when you've used up 30 days of it, re-up on that.
Yeah.
So you're always a full month ahead at any given point in time, and if you get that weird order where somebody wants a giant white print on DTG, you normally don't use that much white ink, you've got that. You've got a full month's worth. And hey, if you get an order that uses 60 days worth of supplies in that one order.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that overnight cost is perfectly fine.
Right, I agree. But I mean, so give me an example, Mark, like how would you keep track of that? Because I think that's where a lot of people, you know, they go, okay, well, I mean, I'm looking in my closet or I'm looking in the cabinet in the office and I've just got like, you know, I've got a bunch of blanks piled all over the place and I've got a box full of threads and I've got a spot for my ink. How would you suggest that they organize
sure.
you know, what they need and how do they figure that out?
Well, I mean, you can, my keep it simple approach is there's two. One is if you've got that software we talked about before for finance software.
Yeah.
If you've got that, more than likely it's got some sort of an inventory in the software.
True, right.
So you're going to be able to put your part numbers down and put how much you have of those, and then every week or month or however, depending how busy you are, you count.
Right.
And
run an inventory report.
Yeah, and you just do a run an inventory report, and you can print that out or bring a tablet over to where you keep your inventory, and you can verify what you have and then adjust.
Yeah, and maybe you could look at the, you know, if you don't know, you know, if you're a little bit more basic than that and you're not ready for that, just look at the invoices that you've paid on supplies for the past maybe 60 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, add all that stuff up, write down everything that you've ordered for the last 60 days, have a drink because you're going to be really surprised at how much you've ordered in the past 60 days. And then maybe add 10 or 15% on top of that for growth and make that your baseline.
That's what you want to have.
That's what you want to have in stock. And when you go below that, then you order new.
Yeah. And if the tech, if you're not ready for the tech side yet, then you can have it as simple as have everything written down on a nice, neat paper.
Right, right.
Make it neat and keep it in that room, wherever you store things, or keep it in a drawer in a safe place. And then you can, if you don't have a massive inventory,
yeah.
it might all fit on one sheet of paper. On the left-hand side, you've got these are the five shirts. And again, if you're going back to our beginning, your best blanks, here's the five shirts I order. Here's the five hats I order. Here's my list. Here's what I have of those. Mm-hmm. And then, which is probably not a huge amount.
Right. Here's what I should have.
Yeah. And then the same thing. Here's my ink or my thread. Yeah. And thread's a challenge. You know, it can be a challenge because there's 400 colors that we carry. But it's important to know. It's important to know.
Absolutely.
And the thread's not going to take you forever because you're going to know what you've gone through. You can look to what you've gone through. But at minimum, if you're not going to do every single color, because maybe you're not going to use that, you know, light green leaf 15 color.
Most popular.
But exactly. Your 15 most popular. Keep that on the list.
If you have to fast ship or overnight a spool of thread, it's a pain, but it's only a few dollars.
Yeah, it's not the most ridiculous thing.
Right.
So that's it. And then you also need to the info that you need to manage is your customer info.
Right, and this is one of the things that most small businesses don't do very well, and you'll really set yourself apart if you do, and that's CRM, customer resource management, and there are a lot of ways to manage your customer information, but what you really want is you want a place where you can keep their name, their address, their phone number, notes about the account, and in some way, write down what they ordered, what they like to order. You know, do they like to be called Steven or Steve? Mm-hmm. Do they like to be called and reminded of things? Or do they prefer to do business by email?
And manage all of their info, any notes you have about them. And this is something where there is plenty of free and very inexpensive software that will really help you.
Zoho CRM is a free one, up to a certain number of users. Salesforce, I think you can still get for free, I'm not sure, but there's a bunch.
Yeah, VTiger, Base, and there's more than you can name, and there's always a new one coming out.
Yeah.
So find one that feels right for you, watch their videos.
Not important which one you pick.
Yeah, no, and my thought is Google search, CRM, find the ones that, try to find the pricing first to make sure you don't waste a ton of time because you don't need to do some big giant build.
Yeah.
Watch their videos on YouTube or right on their website. See how it works. Yeah. Watch somebody do a workflow because you'll see a bunch of those for everybody.
Yes.
And say, this one looks cool for me. Right. I like this. Pick that one and just do it.
And that's the thing is this is something that you're going to have to commit to actually doing throughout the year. Your Outlook or your Gmail is not how you manage your customers.
Yes.
I just want to say that out loud once.
Well, the last company that I worked for when I was in apparel, they managed everything out of a Gmail inbox. And it was because it was one guy who started it, and he managed all of his orders out of his Gmail.
Wow.
And then he brought a partner on, and it was fine. Two guys. They were managing out of one inbox. No big deal. And then they brought a third person on, and then a fourth. So now they have four people working out of an inbox.
Yeah.
And they might not have always been in the same place, and they were doing double work and forgetting, accidentally deleting all the time. Well, and it grew so fast. They didn't even realize they got there before it was to the point where when I came on, I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't know.
Well, and you mentioned the forgetting, and I think that's the biggest part. And you can actually make more money this year in 2016 if you adopt a CRM, because what that will allow you to do is when an inquiry comes in or you get a new customer, you're going to write it down, and you're never going to lose them. I guarantee if you're not using a CRM, then sometime this week you went, oh, wait a minute. I emailed a quote to this guy. I can't remember. I think there was dog in the name of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Let me search dog in my Gmail account and see what comes up, because I wonder, I never got an order. You know, if you're using CRM, then you'll never lose a customer, because you're going to schedule a follow-up in 2 weeks, or in a month or next year, because they order the same thing.
Yeah, and they have things called potentials or sales orders. They have all these things where after you talk to somebody and you quote them, you can create an event in the software that says, I quoted this person, and then the event stays open until you close it with never heard back.
Yeah.
Or close the deal.
Lost the deal,
won the deal, whatever it is. So then you'll have these open events, and eventually you'll get to the point where, okay, I never heard from this customer back. I'm going to close it because they're done. Or you get the order and you close it, and then now you get to track a ton of cool information as well.
Yeah, that's true. I like all that. So for kind of information management, and what's cool is you get to write this on top of your legal pad, and people that see it will be really impressed because you're going to do inventory management plan, and that sounds very official, and then you're going to do CRM or customer resource management as a way to, or contact management as a way to keep track of your potential customers.
So is there anything else on the business side our plan?
You know, I was thinking about where we're talking, and I just wanted to add one thing in there, and it's kind of part of the Best of 2015 review, is do a little vendor review. You know, don't just look at the products that you liked working with, like blanks. Look at the sources of products that you liked working with and didn't like working with.
Yeah.
So if one of your key vendors failed you in some way, so, you know, if you're ordering blanks and you love the shirt and everything, but the guy that sells it to you didn't get it to you on time, or they shipped you the wrong color two or three times or something like that, just, you know, put them on the red list and try to find somebody that's going to do a better job.
Yeah, and also, because I'm in the supply business, it's also important to manage how issues may have been handled. And that's an important thing to deal with, you know, your vendor, because you are not going to be free of mistakes, and neither of any of your vendors.
Right.
But say, well, I order from this shirt company, and they sent me the wrong thing a couple times, and then they charged me shipping on top of that. Then I wanted to send the old one. Like, everything about it, they were
sucked.
Unfriendly.
They sucked.
Yeah, they sucked. And I couldn't talk to anybody. I tried to call, and I got, you know. And compared to, well, this company made a mistake for me, but I called them, they rectified it. I was able to handle with my customer.
That sounds like Coleman & Company.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it really does.
We try.
It really does. okay. So, yeah, I think that'll do it for the business side. Let's move on to what we really like, and that's the sales and marketing.
Yeah. And, well, I was wondering if that's the next episode. Is it the next episode? We're half hour into this one. Do we keep rocking it here, or is the marketing growth checklist Episode 25.
I think that they've probably got a legal pad full of stuff right now, and maybe we should give them a week.
Okay.
To work on this stuff.
Yeah.
So let's do that. So for the business growth checklist for 2016, this is the business episode.
Yeah.
You know, this is the nuts and bolts episode, and we'll save the sales and marketing stuff for next week.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be really helpful to focus on two sides, because on this first side, you're going to say, how am I going to be organized and clean and fresh and neat and know where I'm going and where I want to be?
Yeah.
And then in the next stage of it is going to say, how am I going to now use that to get bigger and better and badder and make more money?
I like it. So let's recap the best of 2015 that we've done so far.
Okay.
So the first one is, the first section is to do that best of 2015 review.
Yep.
So you're going to figure out what the best blanks to work with and sell. You're going to look at your most profitable deal to try to duplicate that. And by the way, by try to duplicate that, that is, you know, finding similar customers to sell to, or finding the most profitable item in there that you're going to push or feature.
Yes, you know, if your most profitable stuff was when you made, say, polo shirts for the salespeople, like I mentioned, for that company. Well, what other company in my area has salespeople that wear shirts that either go to trade shows or outside salespeople?
Yeah.
Maybe I can try to target some more of those customers.
Agreed. And then you're going to look at the worst mistake that you made. And that worst mistake in 2015 could have been having to do with ordering the wrong shirts, trying at new material for a last-minute job. It could have been working with customer blanks that you messed up. What else? It could
not
have been
testing something before you promise it. Over-promising,
right?
Where you can't deliver a promise that you made. Going selling something for too inexpensive because you felt you really needed the deal, and you ended up, you might not have lost money on the deal, but you lost so much time that you did lose money.
Because
you would have made it somewhere else.
And, you know, part of the 2015 review is I want you to go back and listen to those Know Your Numbers episodes.
Yeah.
Because those two episodes will help you do the rest of what we're talking about for 2016. And then I added the vendor review.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that in 2016 you still want to do business with the same vendors that you did in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next thing is to work on the business side of your business.
Money, making sure that you, as we said, meet with somebody who knows about money and managing money, and get some advice.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you might do really well now, but is there zero that you can improve? Are you literally that good that there's nothing you can improve?
You're not in the finance business. You're in the apparel business.
Yeah. So even if you do a good job, it's still worth it at the end of that CPA meeting to say, hey, I'm trying to think of what is maybe one thing I could do better.
Yeah.
And even if you get one thing better, that's great. And
I like that idea.
And get a second opinion maybe if you need to. Maybe if your accountant works out of, you know, is your cousin who works out of his spare bedroom, you know, maybe that's fine for filing your taxes, but maybe you want to meet with somebody who's more of a financial expert for an hour.
That can talk to you about things like cash flow and tax liability management and you know, things like that.
Yes. And if the person who does your taxes just had their car repossessed, pick somebody different.
Pick somebody different. Okay. The other thing is really, you need to use software to manage your orders and to manage your financial life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want you to take a look at the available software packages out there, and pick one to work with. And that's also something that you can work with your accountant on.
Yes. And, as I mentioned, it's pick something that you're going to feel comfortable with, watch the videos, look at their pricing. Do not, in the beginning, you know, don't go with something that's crazy expensive. You don't have to do that.
Right.
Unless your business can really afford it.
Right. That's true.
And if you can't really afford it, there's plenty of things that are free or very inexpensive or that you can pay a non-committal monthly agreement to. And then in 90 days, you could say, this one isn't for me, and you can adjust.
Try something different.
Yeah.
And the other thing we had was order entry and kind of order management, which is also part of managing your financial life.
Yes, and it's keeping track of your customers and their orders in a good, organized place where you can keep all the invoices and sales quotes and receipts and all of these
things. Which we recommend that it's the accounting software.
Yes.
You know, that's our recommendation.
Yeah, your
accountant. We don't often make an actual recommendation, but that's right.
Yeah, exactly. And have some sort of customer relationship management software, a CRM, where you can do quotes in that CRM and save them and create reminders for yourself and you and your customers.
Yeah, in 2016, make yourself a pledge that you are never going to lose another customer or another deal because you didn't call back, you didn't follow up. You decided not to send the next email.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And also, as a big part of the information management, it's managing your inventory. You know, make sure that you have enough in stock so you can do what you estimate the next 60 days worth of jobs is going to be.
I think that's all great.
Okay, I do too, actually. I think if you just did those things, there's no reason to listen. No, that's not true. You still need to listen to the next episode. But I think if you do those things, if you take that legal pad, rewrite your notes, listen to this podcast again, if you miss something, that you'll do better.
Yeah, you will do better. You know, it's one of those things where I'm not, and you know, you've probably mentioned it to me too. I'm not always great at reevaluating things myself.
Right.
But I always try to focus on a couple things to reevaluate and really put a focus on it. And in anything in life, and if you do that and you pay attention to it, just actually the act of doing that means you will do better.
Yeah,
it's almost a guarantee.
I agree. So I'm kind of proud of this episode. I think this is one that you could share. You could share with anybody that's starting a business or that's you know, just kicking off their business or has only been in business for a little bit, and that they would get something out of it.
Yeah, that would be nice to do. I would like to ask you to maybe just share it with somebody else. Because we put some work into it for you.
Yeah, put it on your Facebook page or Google Plus it if anybody still does that or tweet it.
Anybody
or
did that.
Instagram it or whatever it is.
Instagram it.
Okay. Take a big picture of yourself listening to the podcast with a happy expression on your face.
Okay, great.
Yeah, okay, guys, this has been episode 24 of the Custom Apparel Startups podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila. Thanks for listening.
Have a good business.